you get up here, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I know in Sunday school and y'all are like, and I'm like, what, you didn't get enough sleep? Am I boring you? What's the deal here? So everybody looks good and rested, maybe, or close to it. Now, we've been talking about, the title's been The Greatest Key to Increase, and I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about increase in all areas. And kind of like a little subtitle, I put Faithful with Little. How many knows God will give us a tiny little thing and see how we do with it? Why? Because God is all into stewardship. God is not lazy. God is extravagant. God is abundant. God is more than enough. But God is also never wasteful. Right? So, we've been looking at Luke 16. Let's look at that again right quick. I'm going to recap just a little, and then we're going to try to move on to what we got for today. Because next week, y'all have Mr. Monty. Luke 16, verse 1. Yeah. It says, and he said, Jesus is talking here to his disciples, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man. Now we know that would be Jesus, right? Because this is a parable. He says, had a steward. How many knows we're all stewards, right? He says, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. God's not wasteful. He is extravagant, but he's never wasteful. It says, and he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account. How many knows every one of us, according to Scripture? Now, we've been reading in the book of Revelation our chapter reading for everybody that's been doing it, right? And you see a lot of things in there. And he says here, he says, give an account of thy stewardship. The Bible says that we're going to give an account for every idle word that comes out of our mouth. I mean, we're going to give an account all the way down to nearly the air that we breathe, right? He says, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig, we would say work today, and to beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. And he said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. So he's cooking the books here. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. Now, we done looked up over there in James, what is it, chapter 3, about verse 15. There is a wisdom of this world. The Bible calls it devilish. But it is wisdom, right? It's worldly, earthly wisdom. He says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now notice verse 10. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. Now a lot of times we like to think, and I've heard people say, you know, one person, they had fines, you know, when they come here, had fines they had to pay and all that, you know. And they asked Scotty, well, you know, I want a tithe and everything, but reckon God will wait on me till I get my fines paid. How many knows, with God, everything is about the heart. It's not about necessarily the money, but the thing about the money is we'll show the results of the heart. That's how come I've told you, I mean, I've been doing this for, what, about 20 years now, 21, somewhere around in there. Now, when we first started, I wasn't the one that wrote down everybody's finances of their tithe and offering and all of that stuff. Somebody else was doing it, but probably 20 years I've been doing it. That's one of the first things that I see go. Why? Because that's the result of something that got changed in the heart. And where's God always looking? The heart. Always. So it wasn't about necessarily God waiting on them or not waiting on them. Number one, either he's first or he's not. See, if you'll believe God, if you'll do what he says, how many knows obedience, it has a door to blessing. But the thing about it is, disobedience has an automatic back door to bring the curse and open the door for the devil to kill, steal, and destroy. So the thing with that is, what you do is, you believe God, you become convinced by the Word and the Holy Spirit that it's right to tithe and give an offering to the Lord, and then you believe God to make a way where there seems to be no way, to pay your fines or what. Why? He says, obey the authorities. If you owe a fine, you need to pay it. If you run a red light and you got a ticket, you need to pay it, right? Well, God's all into that, but it's going to take us faith doing the right thing, obeying God, number one, that'll open the door and unlock the blessing of increase. But he says there, if you'll be faithful in just a little, God will give you a job doing very little. Seems like very little. Now, it may be a big task to you. I remember one time we had ladies meeting at Faith Restoration, and I went to the ladies meeting that night. Now, all I'd done at this time was keep the nursery. You know, I could do that, slap a few kids. I'm just kidding. You know, keep a few kids, let them go wild, just make sure they don't get hurt and throw them a snack. You know, I can do that, you know, and don't let them get on my nerves or whatever. But at this point, that's pretty much all I'd done at that time. Well, I went to ladies' meeting that night, and Sister Margie, which was Pastor Brad's wife at the time, came up to me. She said, I want you to take up the offering tonight. Now, all she didn't mean get up here and take up the offering. She meant do like the boys do. Just pass the basket. You know what I said? I can't. Y'all not saying nothing. Some of y'all are like, I couldn't either. Very little thing. I don't got to say. All I got to do is just take a basket. I don't even got to look at you. Just hold the basket out there and let you put your money in there. And she said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. She said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. She said, yes, you can. I said, no, I can't. She said, yes, you can. And she turned around and walked off. I thought, no, I can't. But when the time come, the baskets was given to me, and I did it. Now, why am I telling you that? Because, see, God knows what you can do and what you can't do. And if he wants you to, you can do if he helps you. But every one of us, I didn't start out up here doing Sunday school. I started out in keeping the nursery so everybody else could enjoy the service. Well, evidently, I was faithful to do that, and then God moved me up to teaching the kids. And then before you know it, then we get sent down here, and woo-wee. Everything. Me and Scotty does almost everything. Because we started out with about 70 people, and I think the next two services, we might have went to 50, then to 40. Then before you know it, there's about five of us. And Sandy was here, and she always helped, you know, kids, different things, or whatever. I mean, Sandy could probably tell you the first time Scotty ever asked her to start the service. She's smiling. Did you think he couldn't? Did you not want to? She hates it now. She come in on Wednesday night or something. I don't mean hate and start the service. What I mean by that is she hates it on Wednesday night to walk past Scotty because she's thinking he might say, start the service. She would rather be keeping the kids or cleaning a toilet or something like that. How many knows? If you're faithful with little, God's going to expand you with much. But if you can't even do the little, if you can't. I asked Damien this morning. I come up, the porch had leaves, and I don't know, for some reason there was a big hunks of mud on there. I asked Damien, I said, would you sweep the porch off, please? It's got all that mud and leaves and stuff on it, you know. You just looked at Monty. Anyway. He says, yeah, you know, and I guess he swept it off. I didn't look. I'll look when I get done, and we'll see. You know, I'm sure he probably did. Sandy said he did. See, but if you can't even sweep the porch, see, some people think that's just me asked Damien to sweep that porch off. Y'all not saying nothing. How many knows God wants his porch to look good? But see, a lot of times we see the person, we don't see it as God. Y'all remember the story about Aaron and Miriam, right? What did God say when they started talking about Moses? He said, I heard what you said about me. I said, oh, Lord, we didn't say nothing. I'm paraphrasing. We didn't say nothing about you. We was talking about our brother, Moses. He says, no, you was talking about me. Why? Because he was God's instrument being used that God had placed over them for his authority. There's authority in the kingdom of God now, and there's authority in the world. If you don't believe me, go out here and run this red light 100 miles an hour. We'll see how Blountsville's on your tail in just a few minutes. And if you keep going, Coleman will be on you and their canine unit and everybody else. Why? There's authority that is over us. Now, and if you don't believe it in the other area, Zach, when you get home, when April tells you something, which is your mama, just slap her. Just slap her. I mean, give it all you got. We won't say Zach no more, probably. Alligator's got to eat. He'll probably be somewhere in Louisiana in the swamp. Why is that? Don't matter if April's right or wrong. How many knows as parents, sometimes we're wrong? Why? Nobody is perfect as far as always being perfect in their decisions and all of that. We grow, we develop. You know, I mean, there's things that I thought back when Travis was a kid or whatever, I was right in it. Then a few years go by and I'd be like, well, you know, I could have done that a little better, or that wasn't so bad, or something like that. How many have ever done that? If you've been a parent very long at all, I'm sure you probably have. If you hadn't, you're probably full of pride and need to change. Oh, my goodness. But Zach's not going to try that, or none of the rest of her kids. Why? They understand the authority. So every one of us, we have authority here. We all understand that in the world, right? That we have authority. It's everywhere. All the way from the home to the White House and all of that. Then also in the kingdom of God, there's authority. There's rankings and different things like that. Do you understand? There's some people, you can't use them in a foreman or a manager position. The reason why is not because they won't be faithful to do the work. It's they think if they're a manager or a foreman, what they do is they do it, but they do it the way they want to. And if you ever checked up on it, you're wrong. Now, see, when I go out the door, I will remember that I told Damien to sweep the porch. And I'm going to see how he swept it. That's just a small example. How many knows, just like me and Scotty are over it, which he's the pastor, I'm kind of like a gopher here. I have probably one of the lowest positions here. I get told, go help this one. Remember to tell this one. I get to do all the stuff he don't want to do, or he forgets to do, or he don't have time to do. So I'm kind of like a gopher. I just get to just go wherever I'm needed at any time. But then there's other people that if they get told something, they think they should be able to do it when they want to, how they want to. Y'all not saying nothing. Even though Scotty is the pastor and me as being his wife, we're one together, so I get to help him and all his endeavors to be successful, whether it's the church or his business or whatever the case may be. How many knows he don't get to just run this church any way he wants to? If he does, he's going to be in major trouble. See, I have even thought before, I'm telling you right now, if I was the pastor, the church wouldn't be that way. Well, if I was led by the Lord and he's led by the Lord, it would be exactly the way it is right now. So nobody in this life gets to just do, if they're going to be right, whatever they want to, however they want to, even if you get told to do a certain job. I get told to do certain things by Scott. I work under Stacy in the food ministry. I don't go in there and say, bless God, Stacy, I'm the pastor's wife, and this is how we're going to do it. Why? Because Stacy is usually over that. Now, sometimes Scotty will ask me, tell Stacy something because I might forget or I ain't going to get time or he knows I'm going to see her before he was, something like that, so he'll tell me. But when I go in there, I'm under her. I ask her, how you want this? What do you want? What do you want in these boxes? How many of this? Why? I'm not over that. I'm not in charge or authority of that. There's some people, they don't understand that. I'm sent to help her. She's not sent there to do what I say at that particular time. Then vice versa, I go down there to the clothes or whatever. I have to ask Doris, how do you want this? Where do you want this? Where does this go? That's the biggest question I have. Where does this go? Why? She's the one that's over that. So we understand all that in the natural, right? But that's also in the kingdom of God. Zach can't go back there and just do whatever he wants to in that on that sound booth. If he does, he's going to be in trouble, and his job's going to be taken away. I can't get up here and do Sunday school any way I want to. Now, I have lead ways. Scotty lets me be led. He don't tell me what to minister. He does tell me how long. 45 minutes. And I even told him one day, I said, I don't think that's quite fair. Yeah, I get 45 minutes, and you get an hour and a half. I said, I don't think that's quite fair. It's never got changed, Johnny. I still got 45 minutes. So if I start going an hour, now he might get on to me a little bit. He might say, and he has before, accidentally I went over or whatever, you know. He say, it's 45 minutes, Teresa, you know, or something like that. But if I start just doing that an hour, well, God, I'm the one God has chosen to do Sunday school. Y'all not saying nothing. Yeah. But I'm only to do Sunday school. I'm not the one to pick out how long to do Sunday school or when to do Sunday school. If he says we do Sunday school Sunday night, guess what? I got to learn to do Sunday school on Sunday night. Y'all ain't saying nothing. There's a reason why I'm being redundant on this. I read statistics. I listen to people that does studies and different things. Do you know they say that the studies that they have done, only 7 to 10% of what they confess to be Christians tithe? Now, yeah, I can tell you it's not that case here, I don't believe. Doesn't mean I don't know if it's your full tithe, but I do know what most people give because I'm the one that has to write it down or whatever. But, I mean, they're talking about the studies that they done out of so many churches, so many Christians or whatever. That's awful. When it's plain in the Word, but they're obeying it. And I mean, we all have our choices to make. But he says here, if you're faithful in little. And listen, whenever Sandy knows this, because I've seen it, other people probably know this. There's been people that's come here and they'll say, well, if you'll give my kids, the adult kids, if you'll let my daughter teach the kids or something other, you know she'll come to church there and be faithful or whatever. And Scotty tried to explain to her, no, she won't. Because how many knows? It's of the heart. Now, my office here does help me be here at times that I might just choose not to come because I have felt so bad when I was being drunk. I mean, it's embarrassing when I can't walk. It's embarrassing when I'm falling over here in people's grass. I mean, that's embarrassing. You know, and plus, I mean, it makes me cry because I'm completely out of control of absolutely every part of me. And when I try to do Sunday school and I can't think and all that stuff, I can't even put two scriptures together. Well, I tell y'all, you know, y'all got to help me to get out of the flesh over into the Spirit because what I got to say is not supposed to be coming out of my head. So therefore, if I can get in the Spirit realm and flow from the Spirit, I won't have a problem. So different things like that, having my office here of the Sunday school teacher and stuff like that and being faithful in my heart and having a sense of responsibility to do the things that I'm called, it does help me. But how many knows if that's not in there, y'all might show up and have Sunday school and you just might not. Why? Because it's not that office that makes me faithful. It's in my heart. And when you see me outwardly becoming unfaithful or changing from the things that I used to do, you can know something is going on in here. Because it didn't start out here, it started in here. So if I'll be faithful to do the little things, if I'll be faithful to sweep off the... That's like Scotty, I told y'all the story before. You know, he started just getting the little podium and bringing it up. He wouldn't dare let nobody get that thing. We sat on the front, and if he saw Brother Brad just stepping down, he's nearly running over there to get it. He don't give nobody else time to get it. Not because he's prideful, oh, I get the podium for Brother Brad. No, he has such a heart for God and for our pastor. And our heart is still that way for our pastor. If he needs or wants anything, all he's got to do is just mention it. You don't find that a lot today, I'm telling you. There has been very few people that through this ministry I have found that. Very few. That when they come, oh, our heart is with us. If you need anything, then you ask, I can't do that. I got a ball game. Well, you know, you said if you needed anything. Yeah, but I meant when it was convenient. But right now, I'm busy. Y'all remember the story, right, about the supper? When he told him, he said, go out there, tell them, bid them to come and all that. And this one says, I've married a wife. I can't come. I've bought an ox or a cow. I can't come. I'm too busy. What'd he say? Forget them. Forget them. He says, go out there into the highways and byways and bid them to come. All of those that wasn't asked to come first, they wasn't too busy. They came, right? We have to be the same way, whether it's God directly speaking to us. Why? Because he says, if you'll be faithful in a little. Listen, Billy Graham didn't get to these huge crusades without having little ministries of 3 and 4 people coming and being faithful over those 3 or 4, and then it got bigger, and it got bigger, and it got bigger, till he's having crusades of ball fields of people getting born again through his ministry, and his ministry has left a legacy that people are still being born again through it today. They listen to the sermons on the internet, when on TBN and different places, they play the tapes of the crusades and things. We want to be that way. But he started out, and I guarantee you, he was faithful in little. Nobody has great things that wasn't faithful in little. And I'm not just talking about in ministry. Do you know why a lot of people don't save money? Well, one, they like spending it, but I mean, besides that point. A lot of them don't think they have anything to save. Because they think $1 a week is too little. But what's God say? Proverbs says, little is much when God is in it. Right? If you're faithful, say you got a few extra dollars, it don't matter where you start at. All of us may start on what seems like the bottom. But if you'll be faithful, I guarantee you God will multiply it. God will grow it. And once you get up to a few hundred dollars or so to speak or whatever, you don't want to spend it no more. And it makes you excited to save. Then you start turning over the couch looking for quarters and different. You want to save more. But it started with that quarter. Or it started with the dollar or the $5. Miss Scotty, we didn't have any extra money, same like, you know. And when ministers would come to our church, in our heart, we wanted to give offerings over $1, you know, or something like that. So we was reading the Word one day, and I believe it's over there in 1st or 2nd Corinthians, where he told them, he said, lay up the first of the week so that when I come, we won't have to take up an offering. I'm paraphrasing. Y'all remember that? And when we read that, we said, okay, we're going to believe God, and we're going to lay up $5 a week. And by the time that minister comes, whoever comes, we're going to give them whatever is in there. Well, lo and behold, a lot of times they come, we'd have $50, $60, $70 by the time they came. Do you understand? See, we was faithful with that little bit, and I'm not just trying to talk about, but I can only tell you the stories that I know. Some of y'all probably have some of the same stories, right? But he says, if you'll be faithful with the little, if you'll be faithful on whatever level you are. That's like, I have seen people, there's been people here that has come here. They're not even here now, so y'all don't know who I'm talking about. And I'm not going to say no names or nothing. There's been people here that their personality was kind of like mine, or a little less, that quiet, shy, timid-like. I know y'all don't see that now, but it used to be that way. That's how come nobody was bothered by nothing I said. I never said nothing much. It just all kind of stayed inside. But anyway, that quiet, shy, timid, you know, don't want to tell nobody nothing, don't want to start a service, don't want to do a teaching or anything like that, you know. And me and Scott just feel it in our heart, God saying, have them start doing Sunday school or have them starting the service off or whatever, you know. Well, And whenever before they got asked, they're like, well, you know, if pastor ever asks me to do something, I'll believe God for it. If I feel like I can't do it, I'll ask God to help me. Then you go and you ask them because you're being prompted by God, and they're like, I can't. So you're missing your opportunity. You may not have a great revelation at that time that God is saying, start the service or start a teaching or some kind of ministry or something like that. You may not have a great revelation. That's not the thing about it. Whatever you have, he's give you something. If it's just the testimony that you're saved, you know, not counting things that he's done for you over a period of time if you've walked with him. Just get up there and just tell that. And if you'll do that, he'll increase it. But if you don't, he says, even that which you seem to have will be taken away. And see, we're not being qualified only for this life. Because see, the Bible says we're not citizens here. I was thinking about it this morning. I thought, I'm kind of like an immigrant on a green card, or maybe I ain't even got my green card yet. I mean, I don't know a whole lot about that, except what I hear, you know, or whatever. I think they let you come, or they used to let you come, and you're waiting on a green card with papers or something other, you know. We're kind of like that. We don't belong here, and we're never going to belong here. The Bible says we're pilgrims only passing through. So we can't get caught up in just living this life. Why? Because this life is not the one that's going to remain. We may be here 50, 60, 120 years compared to eternity. That's only a drop in the bucket. And so the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he said, no person, he said, going to war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. I got to be in this world, he says, but I can't be of it or be like it. I got to be different. But how many knows a lot of times because we're living in this world and things are going on and this world's system and its economy and all this other stuff and their culture is trying to mold me and persuade me, and the longer I stay in that till it tries to make me act and live like I'm a citizen here. And I'm not. I'm not a citizen here. So therefore, I'm supposed to occupy here. I'm supposed to do business here for the Lord, and whatever natural thing that he's told me to do, whether it's raising my kids or working a job or different things like that. God's not into laziness. God's not into being wasteful or anything like that. But he gives us certain things. There's some people that'll be, you'll see them, they'll be born just like that. I have seen kids 3 and 5 years old that could play rings around me playing the drums. I didn't even start till I was, I think, 37 years old. And I might have a spit of talent given by God to do that. Where they're like born with it. But see, the thing about it is, what do they do with that? That was God given. See, some people think if they got a lot of it, woo, great. No, honey, it's you got a lot of it. Where much is given, much is required. The Bible says, and first of all, in stewards, they must be found what? Every one of us is a steward over our lives, over our bodies, over our finances, over our families, over ministries, over jobs. God don't leave out nothing. Nothing. So therefore, there may be people that are way more gifted, way more talented. I have seen them come through here. Way more talented and gifted than me. In the area of just drumming. They won't stay. They are so gifted, they just need to spread that gift all around. Y'all not saying nothing. We just need to spread it all around. We need to go open for Tim McGraw, and we need to do this. I've seen them. And I have about this much. And I'm here every week. And y'all know when I'm missing it too. Especially like that one, what is that, How Great Is Our God, where I got to do this, and then I got to go. And then we all got to come back in at the same time. Well, sometimes they come back in, and I'm like, I just froze up or something. I don't know. But you know what? What God looks is not how much talent he gave. And I'm not saying this for me. I'm trying to make an example. God's not looking for how much talent he gave. He's looking for what if I gave you 10. Right? If I gave you 10 talents, I'm going to come back and I want to know what you did with them 10. If I gave you 5, I'm going to come back and I want to know what you did with that 5. How did you occupy? How did you do business? How did you increase this? When he told them in the beginning, he said, be fruitful and multiply. A lot of people think that just means go have babies everywhere like rabbits. That's not what he meant. Go into all the earth, multiply it, increase it in every way. Right? So that's exactly what he's saying to every one of us. Every one of us, he has given something. And where he has given that, if we've been faithful, he increases. Just like the drumming, whenever I get there, God's not going to say, "Woo, Teresa, you exploded with talent." I want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you just a little bit, and you used it for my kingdom to the best that you could. That's all I want to hear. That's all you should want to hear. I definitely don't want to hear, you lazy, you slothful, you no good for nothing servant. Take that one little piece that I gave her and give it to this one over here that I gave 10. And let me tell you something. That don't sound real good to the world and these, what do you call it? I don't want to say fake Christians or whatever, but I don't know what you would call it. Because now, just like the parable of the 10, let's go over there and read that right quick. Because I'm trying to get way ahead of myself, but I can't. We need to see this. Let's see, that's going to be Matthew 25, 1 through 30, Beth, if you want to put it up. I think that's where it's at. That's just like now. You know, a lot of people, they like to quote the scripture, you know, it says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous and it's going to be turned over. Yes, it is. It's going to be exactly like the Word said. But are you really going to give your money? If you give somebody $10 to hold for you, or you ask them to pay a bill for you, or give it to your kids for lunch, or you're not there, whatever. Whatever reason you give them $10 for, and they don't use it for that reason, exactly like you told them to, are you really going to give them 10 more? You're dumb if you do. And God's not dumb. And He does the same thing with us. So if you've not been doing what you're supposed to with your money, using it for the kingdom, tithing, giving. I mean, just like this, if God tells you to give $2 in an offering, and He's told us before, and we were so scared we didn't know what was going on, we didn't, or whatever. If you can't listen to God and give the $2 that He said, do you really think He's going to give you $1,000 to give? It's not going to happen. But if I'll be faithful to give the $2, I since learned that lesson, and I ain't never let that happen again. And guess what? He can tell me to give quite a bit today. But it's only because I started giving the two. Now here in Matthew 25, verse 1, it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. Notice what that says. What is He talking about? He's not talking about the earth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened. Kingdom means the domain where the king rules, and He tells us where it's at here is in heaven. Right? Okay. He says, and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise. Oh, I didn't read the whole thing. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They're all virgins. It says that they were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, meaning he was longer coming than what they thought he was going to be, right? They all slumbered and slept. They all got a little bit tired, right? It says, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. How many knows we're going to hear that one day? It says, then all those virgins, all 10 of them, arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil. Notice their response. For our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourself. Amplified Bible says, but while they were going away to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were prepared. King James said, those who were ready. The faithful prepare. They're diligent. They go the extra mile. And notice this. A lot of times you'll hear this today, you know, well, you've got money. Why can't you give me some of yours? Y'all not saying nothing. That's not very Christian-like, is it, for you not to give me what I need? The Bible says, If you see your brother in need, howbeit you shut up, howbeit the love of God dwell in you if you shut up your bowels of compassion against him. The devil quotes scripture. That's why Sandy asked for y'all to help her pray, that she be led in this situation with people that she's dealing with. Why? She wants to be a blessing. She wants to be a witness. And I'm not just talking about her. Y'all just heard that situation recently. But she's got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Why? Because God, the devil will use people sometimes, if he can, to take away your increase. I seen Scotty one time. He was just like Sandy, and he still is, you know, but young in the Lord and just had a heart to help people and different things like that, you know. And there was this husband and wife couple, you know, their situation. He started trying to help them. And I'm telling you, the more he tried to help them, it was like a spider web. The deeper in mess he got. And deeper and deeper, and they're just sucking and sucking, and ain't nothing changing. Until finally he figured out, you know, kind of like his elevator went to the top, I don't believe this is God wants me doing this. But you'll hear that today. Did you hear that? The five foolish that didn't prepare, that wasn't faithful, that didn't do the things they needed. Let me tell you something. If you're not making it now, how you think you're going to make it later? If I'm barely saved now, what I mean by that is I'm dry as a bone, I'm half asleep during the service, when I come, if I come, if I'm just barely still saved right now, so to speak, how you think I'm going to make it later when it's saying all this crap's hitting the fan? It's not going to be good. I've been lazy. I've been undiligent. I've been slothful. I've been unfaithful. Then you have the audacity to tell the wise and the faithful, give me what you got, Sandy. And it's not very Christian-like if you don't, is it? Oh, y'all not saying nothing. Y'all realize this is red. Jesus is the one that told this story. I'm supposed to be led. And if I'm not led to give you, I don't give you the time of day. But you'll hear that Christians are supposed to love people. I am, number one, I love God first. And whatever he tells me to do, that's what I do. And he ain't telling me to help you. Y'all don't hear this much, I'm telling you. Most of what you hear is, give me. Give me. Why are you in the situation you're in? See, there's people, they want you to pray and pray hard. That's what they say, pray hard. I can't stand that. I don't pray hard. I don't pray hard for myself. I like light and easy, like Jesus said, right? But they want you to pray hard. And they ain't even prayed for their self. Scotty's asked me before. He said, don't you pray so for me? I said, have you prayed for yourself? See, if you ain't even prayed for you, why you want me to pray for you? I got just as much time, 24 hours in a day, as you do. This is going way different than what I thought. But do you see what I'm saying? There's people out there, they'll try to use the word on you to manipulate you, to steal from you, to kill. There's some people you can't get mixed up with them because they will zap every spiritual bit of strength you have got. And it's not God. And we got Christians being manipulated by people trying to use the word on them because they ain't got a lick of discernment what's God and what's not God. And they're being ripped off by the devil and lazy people. That's just like me. I will pray for you. I don't care to pray for you. I will believe God for you. I'll look up the scriptures for you and different things like that. But don't you be laying on the couch eating donuts wanting me to fast because it ain't going to happen. I do good to fast for me. Y'all can tell. Why do I say that? Because this is a parable of what it's going to be like. And the faithful have went the extra mile. They have done the extra things. They have listened to the tapes. They've watched the videos. They've went to the services when they was tired. They've been there doing what they felt like they couldn't do. And then you got others, they ain't done nothing. And they're lazy, and they're slothful, and they want you to help them. But they said, we ain't got enough for you and us. You go do the things you need to. But notice here, while they was gone, what happened? Verse 10, and while they went to buy, and the bridegroom came, And they that were ready, those that had prepared, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And he says, this is how the kingdom of heaven is going to be. See, he tells us here, live here, do business, occupy and all that. Let's look at Luke 19 right quick. I'm about 5 minutes and I got to stop. I don't want your pastor saying, look, I told you 45, not 50. Then I'll be in trouble and I'm the one up here telling y'all, don't go 50 if you got 45. Luke 19, going to start in verse 12. This is read again. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. We would know that to be Jesus, right? He told Mary, he said, don't touch me now. I've not ascended to my Father. So he's went out there to receive the kingdom, and the Bible says he's coming back. He says, 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what? Occupy till I come. I live here, but this is not my home, but I got to do business while I'm here. That word occupy in the Amplified says buy and sell. In other words, increase. Increase in everything that I have given you, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet and every dealing that you have. He says, occupy till I come. So in other words, we don't ever get to retire. Now, I'm not saying you can't retire from your job. That's not what I'm saying. We never get to just retire and move to Florida and sit on the bank fishing all day every day. Ain't supposed to happen, right? We're supposed to buy, sell, occupy, do business till he comes. We're forever supposed to be about the kingdom. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. He's looking for gain. God is looking for increase. And the key to the greatest key to increase is be faithful with what you got. Do whatever you're supposed to do with whatever it is you got. He says, then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained thee 10 pounds. And he said unto him, notice, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over what? Where's he talking about? Not here. Do you know there's a scripture that says our works are going to follow us? We brought nothing in this world. Materially, we can't take anything out. But our works and things that we do here is going to follow us over into the kingdom of God. And they're either going to testify for us or they're going to testify against us. And he said, I thought about something. I asked God, do you think there's vehicles in heaven? This is just my little tidbit here before I close. I mean vehicles. Yes, there's all kinds of animals there. I think so. I tell you why I think so. Why do you need a street if you ain't going to drive on it? If we're just going to walk, why not have a sidewalk, number one? I mean, really, I'm trying to let my elevator go up. I'm trying to meditate and be expanded. I'm trying to stay in line with Scripture. Bible says there's streets of gold. It doesn't say there's sidewalks of gold. So if you're going to drive some kind of vehicle, and I'm not saying it'll be a Maserati or a Ford or anything, I'm just saying. Then also, the Bible says it was a chariot of fire. So I know there's chariots there, Sandy. It didn't come from the earth. The Bible said there was a chariot of fire that came down and got Elijah and took him. So I know there's chariots of fire. Now, a chariot, I mean, usually from what I know about them, they're what, two wheels or whatever, and you got a horse or something pulling it. Well, the Bible says there's one of them there, at least one, because he came and got Elijah with it. Talks about how New Jerusalem is going to be kind of like what I would think about, like the capital city, Washington, D.C. capital, you know, or something like that. But how many knows, just like it is here, is how it's going to be there. There's going to be cities. Every city has a mayor. What's he tell him here? He says here, verse 19, and he said likewise to him, be thou also, no, that's not it, 17. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. What qualified him to be over, have authority over 10 cities? What he did here with the little that he had been given qualified him for there for 10 cities. Now, he'll give us authority here. He'll increase us here. But this is not what we're living for, is what goes on here. We're living for what's going to go on there. Let's keep reading, because I got to stop. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over what? What they done with it determined how many cities they was over. See, if you can't handle your household, the Bible says, if you can't handle your wife and kids at home in a right way, how can you handle the house of God? You can't. He goes on, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up. Made no increase, didn't do nothing with it. He says that I have laid up, what verse are we on? I lost it. 20, laid up in a napkin. For I feared, number one, in the kingdom, you're going to always have to use faith. Everything has to be used faith. He says, because thou art an austere man, number one, God's not like that. Thou takest up that thou layest not down. God did give it to each one of them, didn't he? He didn't say, give me something out of nothing. He gave them something. So he's a liar, this guy. He says, layest not down and reapest that thou didst not sow. That's a lie. God sowed Jesus and gained all of us. He sowed a pound to him and he expected more than just the pound back. Why? God is all about being faithful to increase. He goes on and he says, reapest not, thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taken up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that has 10 pounds. Now listen, this would be today's Christians, a lot of them. And they said unto him, Lord, he has 10 pounds. He says, for I say unto you that unto every one which has shall be given. And from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which thou would not that I should reign over them, bring here and slay them before me. Now notice what he said there. He said, take that and give it to the one that gained, that's got 10 over there. And they said, Lord, he's already got 10. That's so unfair, God. You're not fair. God's not about fair. See, a lot of Christians today would be like, it don't matter, Sandy, how much me and you have tithe, how much me and you have given to the Lord, to people, how much time we've spent, how much offerings we've given, how much we have given away. They only look at what we've had now. They ain't seeing the sacrifices that we made. They're not seeing when we felt like we needed, we gave it. They only see what you got now, and they say, give me some of yours or you're not right. But if you'll go do what I done, because I only done what he said do. And if you'll go do what I done, or Sandy or whoever has increased, if you'll go do, the Bible says, follow after those who through what? Faith and patience inherit the promises. If you'll go and do spiritually what you see somebody on fire has done, you'll be on fire. If you'll go do financially what you've seen others do that has prospered, that has increased according to the Word, you'll get what they have. But this thinking that you should give to me, you should be the one praying for me, all this stuff, God's give every one of us something. Use it. And the more we use it, the more God will increase and the more God will bless here and now. And then we're also putting this stuff up for what we're going to be doing later. Because I thought about it. How many babies do y'all think are in heaven? Just miscarriage babies. How many abortions? It's in the millions, I heard them say. Who's taking care of them babies? Somebody is. God is. Okay, whatever. No, he's not. The angels are. Well, they might be helping. Some people in heaven, that's their assignment, is to take care of them babies that are there in heaven. God don't put them in an incubator and just leave them. Hello, people. Somebody's got to be taking care of them babies right now and all the rest of the babies that are coming. There may be some of us in this room. That's going to be part of our job. Then there has to be people working in cities. Well, there's got to be a foreman or a manager over those cities. It's just like it is here. But we can't be so earthly minded. We're not any heavenly good. I've got to stop because they didn't get enough. I'm done way over now. I'm in trouble. The Lord help you, so I can say. Anybody want to say anything or comment or anything?